Welcome to this Thursday edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Dave Ball here along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. And today we're going to answer your questions. And Chuck, we have some very interesting questions and ones that may be a bit harder than some we've answered previous programs.
Well, let's divide them in half, Dave. I'll take the easy ones, you take the hard ones. I like that idea.
That's
you didn't
a no
seem
deal.
To, you think I'm joking.
Well, I do know that we have a great staff here, and they help a lot in preparing some of the answers to these questions. And always, if you've got a question that you didn't write in, but we touch on it, there's lots of information available at crown.org, lots of articles and information that you can get there 24 hours a day. And Chuck, we have a number of questions to get to today, so let's jump right in.
Let's go.
This first one comes from a pastor, and he writes, I'm a married pastor who's deeply in consumer debt. Over a year ago, I accepted a call to pastor my present church, and we've been trying to do a short sale on the house near my former church because it's worth less than half of what is owed on it, but we have not been successful. My church has been providing a dual housing subsidy, but that expires this month. We cannot make the payment without that subsidy. Do you have any suggestions for us? And this comes from Robert in California.
Well, I know that California has been a very difficult real estate market, but there's actually lots of reasons to hang on to your house and not walk away. The first reason is just your personal integrity. God calls us to fulfill our obligations, and I think it's a mistake that has many long-term implications. So I would look for every possible alternative before walking away. The first one is you could rent the house. You could take on a part-time job to pay the debt on the house and to make ends meet. You could ask your spouse to do whatever she could to increase the income that you need to make this payment. Or you could step out of the job that you currently have, and I realize it's in ministry, but you may be able to get a job in a different field that pays more money until you get your financial house in order, and then go back into ministry or be a volunteer on the ministry side. So I think there's a lot of options. The Lord certainly doesn't want anyone to walk away from any financial obligation that we've made. So do what's right, and the Lord will honor you. And I know it's not going to feel good. I know it's uncomfortable, but the good news, as I said, you're in California, and as fast as it's gone down, circumstances could change and the house could skyrocket right back up. So just trust the Lord, be patient, and let me know what He does.
You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We'll take a short break and be right back.
Tired of struggling to pay your bills every month? Not sure where your money's going? Are you ready to get out of debt? Well, the way out isn't always to make more money. Often it's learning to manage what God has already given you. And Crown Financial Ministries has something that'll help you do that. Crown Envelopes is one of the most advanced online money management systems ever. It will help you easily create a home budget online in a secure environment and connect it to your bank and credit card accounts. Then, Crown Envelopes will automatically track your spending, update your budget, and tell you how much you have left to spend in any budget category. You'll have access to your financial information 24/7 from home, work, even your cell phone, so you can always know where you stand financially and make informed decisions. Take control of your finances today and sign up for Crown Envelopes at crown.org. With Crown Envelopes, you can become debt-free. Again, Crown Envelopes is available at crown.org.
Welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries, and today we are answering your questions. By the way, if you have a question for Chuck, you can write him directly at chuckbentley@crown.org. And Chuck, this next question is regarding a business opportunity, and Kristen from Enola, Arkansas writes, my husband was recently offered a position as a partner in a roofing business. The monetary increase would greatly help our family, but we're wondering if the Bible has anything to say about partnerships. Can you help us?
Well, most often people refer to 2 Corinthians 6:14, which says, do not be unequally yoked, or do not be bound together with unbelievers. for what partnership does righteousness have with lawlessness, or what fellowship does light have with darkness? So many times that's applied to marriages. But because the analogy is one of two oxen getting side by side and being bound together in a single yoke, I do think it applies to business circumstances, and you have to be very careful about who you're partnering with. Partnerships can be a wonderful thing, but oftentimes there are two different sets of values. Sometimes there's even different purposes for the business or financial goals, and you have to be very careful that you're aligned and that neither party is getting into a form of bondage that you don't have a clear way out of. Let me give you an example of that. Years ago, I had a friend whose wife started a business with another Christian family, and they both put in money. One put in 80%, the other put in 20% of the money, and the two women decided to run this business together. Well, it turns out that the one who invested 80% in it did not have a goal for the business to make any money. In fact, their family's goal was to have a write-off. Well, guess what? The person who invested 20% was really shocked to find that out, because they wanted their part of the partnership to make money. And you would have thought that everybody would have the same goal, but they didn't. So use that as the foundation for doing a lot of discovery, finding out the goals, the values, the purpose that your partners have in mind, and then create a relationship that you can get out of if you find dispute or disagreement over any of those issues, which means you need to have a buy-sell agreement going into the partnership. Now, there's a lot written about that. You can find articles about it on our website at crown.org. Also, you can find more great information about that and biblical principles around partnerships at Integrity Resource Center. And their website is integrityresource.org. So hope you'll follow those guidelines and let me know if you decide to take the step.
Chuck, this next question comes from Sharon in Rochester, New York. And she writes, my husband and I are 52 and 54. We have seven children, ages 3.5 to 16, and have some questions about term life insurance. Being a one-income family, do we get insurance for each of us or just the primary wage earner? If our income is $30,000 a year, how much coverage do we need, and how much should we be spending on the insurance? And finally, what's the best way to find an insurance company that is financially sound? Thanks for all the help you can offer.
Well, that's a great question, and I think the numbers are this, and I don't really want to be quoted. This is just totally off the top of my head, but I think the husband is six times more likely to die before the wife. The point is, I know for sure that the husband has significantly greater probability of dying before his wife. So in my view, you should have more coverage on the husband, and then some coverage on the wife as well, because if the wife dies, the husband's going to have some ability to replace the needs that the mother meets around the home. So the answer to your first question is be sure that your husband has the most insurance. Now, the purpose of life insurance is normally to provide replacement income if the wage earner was to die, if the wage earner in the family dies. But in your case, as I said earlier, I think both of you should have some coverage. Your husband, who's the primary wage earner, should have by far the most, and then you as the mother should certainly have some coverage. Now, because of our economy and a decreasing yield on investments, it's really difficult to estimate how much insurance you're going to need, especially into the future. But if you use a simple rule of thumb, you typically multiply your annual income by 8 or 10. In your case, I'd recommend multiplying it by 10, which would mean the face value of your policy should be about $300,000. And then you personally would probably want to have another $100,000 or $150,000 of coverage on your life. And if you can't afford this kind of coverage, then ask your agent about purchasing a policy that would simply cover your mortgage in the event of your death, and that would put your family in a debt-free position. We've written quite a bit about this topic on crown.org, and I, again, would recommend that you go to crown.org. We have a free insurance needs worksheet there online, and it also gives you information about rating insurance companies, and that'll be very helpful to you as well.
Chuck, this next question comes from Judith in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and I'm wondering if she's the mom of this particular
kind of
person.
Kind of sounds like it to me. Let's see.
Yeah. Her question is, would a young graduate-level educated male who is questioning his career path benefit from your Career Direct assessment tool?
Well, I definitely believe so, because oftentimes we go through stages or phases of life when our interest changes, and especially when we lack clarity, we need something where we can just sort of draw a line in the sand and say, this is who I am. Now, Lord, what can I do that matches up with my skills and interests and talents? And what I found is that it is true that God created each of us unique. And once we understand who we are, then it helps us to focus our search so that we can use those unique gifts and abilities. And many times it's very motivating for a person who comes to understand themselves better. So I wouldn't just take the assessment. I would be sure that the person wants the information first, and then I would ask that young adult male who just got out of graduate school if he would take the assessment and give it to three or four friends and ask them for feedback. That way they can affirm some of the gifts in his life and to be able to say, hey, this looks like what I think you should do. And oftentimes that really motivates someone to understand that others see potential in them or gifts in them that they couldn't see in themselves. So absolutely, I hope you'll go online at crown.org and get the assessment done and let me know how it goes.
You know, Chuck, we are fast approaching Christmas, and often people are at a loss of what to get for someone else. And I can't think of a better gift to give to someone at Christmas than something that will give them direction for their future, whether they're a high school senior or going into college or a college senior or someone like this young man who's already graduated but still struggling. What a great gift this Christmas to give the gift of a Career Direct assessment.
Yeah, well, that's a great idea, Dave. And a very simple way to do that is just buy them a real nice card and write in there, this is good for one free Career Direct assessment that I'm going to take care of. Let me know when you're ready to take the assessment, and I'm sure they will deeply appreciate it once they get involved in it and see how God's actually wired them.
Well, we're answering your questions today here on Money Life. We'll take a short break and be right back.
Want to learn how to make and manage money God's way, but you don't have time to read a book or participate in a Bible study? Then check out The Journey to True Financial Freedom, a live seminar presented by Crown Financial Ministries. It's fast-paced and life-changing. Invest just one day of your time in a Journey to True Financial Freedom seminar, and you can learn God's financial principles and practical ways to apply them for a lifetime. A trained instructor will teach you how to set priorities, develop a spending plan, eliminate debt, and more. You'll gain a deeper understanding of stewardship and faithfulness. If you're interested in attending a Journey to True Financial Freedom seminar, go to crown.org to find one in your area. Or call 1-800-722-1976 and ask one of our friendly consultants to locate one for you. That's 800-722-1976 or online at crown.org.
Welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries, and today we're answering your questions. And if you have a question for Chuck, you can write him at chuckbentley@crown.org. And Chuck, our next question comes from a listener in Scandia, Minnesota, and they write, "We're partially supporting a son with his college expenses. He's taken out the subsidized loans offered by the school, but he's finding those loans plus our support and his own funds aren't enough for his upcoming semester's expenses. One option is to take out an additional loan, but I believe it would require a co-signer. I understand the surety principle, but is there any exception to this for school loans with your own children?"
I don't think there's any exception to co-signing. Proverbs 17:18 makes it very clear that we should not co-sign because it leads to a great deal of problems, even among families. And I think there's some ways around that. I know it's hard to say no to your children. I remember specifically one of my older boys, when he went out on his own, he wanted to rent his first apartment. He was pretty excited about it. He went in the management office, decided to fill out a form, and he turned it in. And they looked at him and said, "Well, who's going to co-sign for you?" And he said, "Oh, I guess mom and dad." So he came back and I said, no, we're not going to co-sign for you. And he said, "Well, what am I going to do?" I said, well, you're going to have to figure something else out. Maybe you could live with a friend who didn't have to co-sign, which is exactly what he ended up doing. And so I know it's hard, but it's always better to live your life by principles and then to teach your children those same principles and to tell them why you're making that decision. Now, there's some alternatives for your son. He should, first of all, consider dropping his class load and go to school part-time in order to avoid all this debt. He should try to find more grants, more scholarships, or he should go to a less expensive school. Now, I know none of that sounds like what you want to do, but in this day and age and in this job environment, piling up a lot of school loan debt is just a bad idea. Now, let me give you some resources that may help you to find some alternatives. ScholarshipCoach.com, CityOfCollegeDreams.org. These are websites that can help you find some alternative funding. Also, the resources mentioned on these two websites are available in most public libraries, so you may not even need to purchase them. And then there's a host of other websites that have some helpful information about college and college financing. SmartMoney.com, CollegeView.com, Bankrate.com is a good source, or MyMoney.gov. All of those have information on paying for an education. So just to summarize, live by the principle of no co-signing. Teach that principle to your children. Look for ways to avoid going into debt for your college education, and then diligently seek alternatives to funding this education other than debt.
Well, I don't know about you, but as Chuck was reading off all of those websites, if I was trying to write those down, I would have gotten a hand cramp. So you can find all of that information at crown.org/radio, and then look for the related content for today's program, and all of those websites will be listed there for you. Chuck, the next question comes from Ann in Timmonsville, South Carolina, our neighbor next door. And she writes, I'm trying to pay off my debts by 2015. I'm paying $437 a month on a timeshare, and I still owe $25,000 on it. I think timeshare may be one of those programs we have to do someday. I have it up for sale, but can I just let it go back? I'm not behind on the payments, but I don't have the $945 maintenance fee due this month. I could finish paying off my credit card with this payment in less than a year. What should I do?
Well, the first thing is to get rid of the idea that you're going to walk away. You made a commitment, you're in a financial bind, and don't take the easy way out. You know, the Lord tests our heart when we're faced with hard decisions. And so many people listening right now are hearing their own circumstances, whether it's a timeshare, they're upside down in their mortgage, or maybe they have rent due that they don't have. The answer is never the easy way out. God tests our character. He tests our integrity. And when we're found faithful, He does things that could never happen in man's economy. When we're faithful to the Lord and we live in God's economy, He can do the things that we cannot accomplish on our own. So I urge you not to walk away. But you have a major financial problem. If you have a $25,000 debt remaining and you can't pay the maintenance fee, you're in deep trouble. So put it up for sale. Here's some websites that may be helpful to you. SellMyTimeshareNow.com, Tug2.net, or Timeshares.com will also give you some insight on some alternatives to walking away. In the past, we suggested that people go to eBay and just look to sell the timeshare in an auction. But don't walk away. Do whatever it takes to honor your commitment, and then ask the Lord to intervene in your circumstances. Certainly begin to pray and ask Him, with this goal of being out of debt by 2015, how do you do it and maintain your integrity, your character, and your faithfulness to fulfill all that you've committed to fulfill.
A younger listener says that she and her husband, both 26 years old, have just recently had to buy a car to replace one that had worn out, and now they're in the process of rebuilding their savings. She writes that she'll be leaving her job in a few months so that she can finish school, and she's not sure what to do with the 401k. Should she cash it out, despite the penalties, and put it into the savings, or is there another option that might be better?
Well, I would say don't cash out of your 401k. A simpler option is just to open an IRA and ask your employer to provide you with forms, and you can transfer those funds that were in your 401k into a simple IRA. And you can open that at a local bank or do it online. You can place that money into a CD or a money market account or even into a mutual fund if you move it into a financial service firm like Fidelity or Vanguard. So I think that's a much better option at your age. Don't take the hit. Transfer it. Hang on to it. Keep it in that mechanism until you turn 59 and a half.
Well, you're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We'll take a short break and be right back.
The price of higher education has skyrocketed. According to a recent Gallup survey, families spend almost $15,000 per student per year of college, and many students often spend years just trying to decide which degree they need to pursue. Wouldn't it be better to help your child figure out what they need to study before they arrive on campus? You can, with the Career Direct Complete Guidance System from Crown Financial Ministries. Unlike other assessments that only examine one or two areas of career selection, Career Direct analyzes personality, interests, skills, and values. Your child can use it to explore career options and find the one God has uniquely gifted them for. Over 150,000 people of all ages have benefited from Career Direct. Check it out at careerdirectonline.org and get a free personality ID profile. That's careerdirectonline.org.
Welcome back to this final segment of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. And Chuck, in this last segment, we probably have time for a couple more questions. But before we go there, just as a reminder, whenever we give a website or any kind of that information, it's always available at crown.org/radio. And then when you get there, look for the related content portion, and that information will be printed there for you. So again, that's crown.org/radio. Chuck, this next question comes from a listener in North Carolina, and they write, is there any real government financial assistance to help us restructure our mortgage to bring down the monthly payments? We tried one program, but we were told we had to have at least $70,000 in savings to qualify. If we had that kind of money, we wouldn't need financial help. So what do we do? Time is running out.
Well, thanks for writing us here at Money Life. And the answer is absolutely yes, there is help. I suggest you call the Foreclosure Prevention Hotline /help for homeowners. That number is 888-995-4673. And they have housing counselors who can give you some great advice. Now, this is the housing arm of the Atlanta Consumer Credit Counseling Service. They're a nonprofit agency that have your best interest in mind. They're fully accredited, they're trustworthy, and they can help you. They do this thousands of times. They actually have trained staff who work in conjunction with the Making Home Affordable program, and you can check out that program yourself at makinghomeaffordable.gov. By the way, Dave, we have given out a lot of websites today because people need resources. They not only need our help or hope, they need to find other resources. And I'm with you. Go to crown.org after this program, and you can see a list of all the websites we've referenced today.
Chuck, the next question comes from a listener in Virginia Beach, Virginia. She writes, how can I know if my business has too much debt? Are there some guidelines?
Well, the scripture certainly does not give a black and white amount, but it says that we should live by wisdom. So the first thing when it comes to debt is that you should not have any debt that's not secured by an asset that gives you ability to repay it, an asset that is growing and appreciating. And so often we use debt, even in business, to buy things that are liabilities, and we get into a lot of trouble if our business plan doesn't work. So be sure that when you use debt in your business, that you're purchasing assets, things that are going to grow and cause your business to grow. That way, you're probably going to be much more liquid in the event that a downturn in the economy or a loss of a big customer causes you to have to repay that debt. So be sure it's backed by an asset. Be sure that you're highly conservative, and be sure you've consulted the Lord and received counsel from many other people before you take on any significant risk with debt.
Well, thanks, Chuck. And as always, you can find information shared on today's program by going to crown.org/radio and look for the related content. Well, for Chuck Bentley and the entire staff here at Crown Financial Ministries, this is Dave Ball saying thanks for joining us for this edition of Money Life.